right, we'll go ahead and continue with Stanford coach David Shaw. The Cardinal are home hosting the Notre Dame Fighting Irish on Saturday. We'll go ahead and take questions for coach.
To ask coach a question, please press star one. And your first question comes from the line of Daniel Uthman at U.S. Today.
David, how's it going?
Great.
I wanted to ask you about Senior Day. Has your approach or how you handle it changed over time at all?
No, not at all. I think everyone who's a fourth-year senior, even if they have a fifth year, some of the guys will go through it. Some of the guys will go through it twice. Especially some of the guys that maybe have a fifth year, but they're thinking about going to the draft. I leave it completely open to what the young men want to do.
Do you talk to them at all about the emotions, or you just sort of expect these are your team leaders, they're mature enough to handle, you know, this sort of, I don't know, nostalgic thing that might pop into a game like that?
Not as much, especially since really, four of the last 5 years, we've still had a really big game coming, whether it's a Pac-12 championship game or et cetera. So we kind of take it in stride. I think the guys appreciate it when it's their last time in the stadium. But at the same time, I think we try to keep everything in perspective and know that there are other things coming down the road, which we don't want to lose all of our emotions on one game, although it is special. But I think our guys have handled it pretty well.
Thanks.
And your next question comes from the line of Kevin Gimble, ESPN.com.
Hey, Coach. It feels like every week Stanford has a rivalry game, whether it's Notre Dame or Oregon or USC or Cal. In your opinion, what are the characteristics of a rivalry game? What makes one up?
Well, as they say, you know, familiarity breeds contempt to a certain degree. you know, Cal is obvious. It's proximity. It's the longstanding rivalry. It's going for the axe. So, I mean, that one's the obvious one. But the fact you bring up UCLA and USC, and you're talking about other big universities on the West Coast in the same state that have a lot of alumni that know each other and that do business together, and there's a lot of crossover between our current and former students and athletes. So there's always that little bit of a rivalry in recruiting. You're talking about going after a lot of the same people. So that's a natural part of that rivalry. And then Oregon one is really more recent, just the fact that the two of us have been going back and forth as far as being Pac-12 North champs and Pac-12 champs. So that one's been, you know, just more on the field and having two really good teams going at it year after year.
Gotcha. Thanks, guys.
And your next question comes from the line of Ted Miller, ESPN.com.
David, last week a couple of coaches stated their case for the college football playoff selection committee. Do you have any desire to try to sell your program as deserving if it should win out?
You know, I'm a big fan of not putting the cart before the horse. We've got to play we earned a Pac-12 championship opportunity. We have to play Notre Dame, who's a top four, top three team, whatever they are. And we got a Pac-12 championship game. And I'm going to focus on those. I don't believe in talking before doing, you know. We'll see where we are after those two games and see where everybody else is. And we may be deserving, we may not be deserving. But for us right now, for us to think about anything other than Notre Dame, I think is insanity because they're good enough to get our full attention.
Do you address with your team the need to, like, not pay too much attention? Like, I don't even know if your players would, like, tune in today or this evening to watch the college, the rankings get published. Do you talk to them about not paying attention to that, or you just kind of let them do what they want?
It's been a mantra here, really, since before I became the head coach, which is rankings are temporary. You know, we don't spend time on things that are temporary. We spend time on things that we have control over, which is how we play. You know, and Everybody was so surprised that I didn't watch the first unveiling. And I said, why? Because there's going to be another show next week and another show the week after that. I mean, why is it a big deal for me? I understand it's a big deal for people that love college football. That's great. But for me, it doesn't matter because there's going to be a show this week and there's going to be a show next week. The big thing for us is that we got to try to find a way to beat a really good football team. So we talked to our guys about, that's great. That's just what some people have an opinion, and but they're not done playing football. And those are things that you really look at when you're that matter to us when we're done, when we're finished with the end of our season, and then we'll see what we have.
Great. Thank you.
Sure.
And your next question comes from the line of Kyle Kingstein, F1 Sports.
Coach, what are your memories of the 2009 Notre Dame game and specifically Toby Gerhard's performance?
Just that, you know, up until Christian this year was the best running back performance I think I'd ever witnessed with my own eyes. It was physical. He was explosive. He caught the ball out of the backfield and made big plays. He threw the game-winning touchdown pass on a fourth down while he was getting hit. I mean, just it was a storybook game that, in my opinion and a lot of people's opinion, that game showed that he was the best player in America. It was a phenomenal performance.
And were you down on the field for the students kind of rallying around Jim and starting the Heisman chant for Toby that game?
I was up in the box that year, so I eventually made it down to the field, but as I was coming down, I heard the chants. I heard just Toby, Toby. I mean, I could hear it from, I wasn't even back in the stadium yet. We're riding on our cart coming down the hill behind the stadium, and I could hear the people screaming his name. Because, I mean, anyone that witnessed that game, anybody that watched it on TV, especially the people that were there, you knew you saw something really, really special that day.
And then this past week with Christian having the wild runaround play and then the kick return, do you kind of see similarities in those two performances just in how big they were that being late in the season and kind of helping a Heisman push a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. And not just for the Heisman, but, you know, I talk to the team all the time about the best teams play their best football late in the year, and the best players make their plays late, their best plays late in the year because their team needs them to. And, you know, that's what the big game was with Christian. I mean, he was phenomenal. I mean, every time we needed something, he was the guy. They go down there, kick a field goal and make the game tighter, and he returns the next kickoff. I mean, that's what big-time players do. And, you know, you sit there and you run out of adjectives to describe him. You know, you just sit there and just say, wow, he's that good that he can take over any game we play.
Thank you.
Sure.
And your next question comes from the line of Daniel Usman, U.S. Today.
David, obviously Christian figured strongly in your plans in the spring and summer, but what is there something he's done this season that is either surprised or particularly sort of surpassed expectations for you?
I'll be honest, nothing he's done has surprised us just because we've seen it. We've seen him do it. We saw it doing it in high school. We've seen him do it at practice, and it's every single day. I thought he might be a year away from being a dominant football player. I figured this year he was going to be great. I knew he was going to be really, really good. I didn't know he was going to dominate four or five games a year. At this stage in his career, I thought maybe he was a year away from being a true dominant football player. And what he did against UCLA, what he did against Cal, what he did a couple games early in the year, he took over the game. And it's amazing to see, you know, because you're usually seeing a guy like a Toby Gerhard or one of those big guys really dominate a football game. But you're talking about a guy who runs physical like a 235-pound running back and then runs with speed and quickness and then returns balls and then catches balls. And, I mean, you're looking at something that's truly special. And, you know, I'm not making the Reggie Bush comparison, but it seems like everybody else around me is, because that's what it's like. It's like a guy that can hurt you in so many different ways. And that's not a slight on Reggie at all. I think it's the ultimate compliment. That you're a standard that other guys are getting compared to.
In terms of the team, do you have any idea where he ranks in terms of just flat out foot race, sprint speed?
That's the funny part, is that I would doubt that he's in the top five. I mean, he might be close. He might be close, but it's not 40 time as much as it is 0 to 60. His acceleration is as good as anybody you're going to find. And that's what they said for years about Jerry Rice, right? Jerry Rice never ran a 4.4, but he ran by a lot of guys that did run 4.4. And it's just that quickness and that explosion and that acceleration. And then the conditioning. He's in phenomenal shape. So in the middle of the fourth quarter, he can still take one of those to the house because he's still running full speed, and other guys might be a little tired.
Thank you.
Any further questions for Coach? All right, that'll do it. David, thanks for your time. Good luck on Saturday.
Thank you.
All right, we'll see you.